One, two, three, four. It's the news, according to me. It is with great fear and trepidation I am with you here this morning. Actually, this afternoon. Because it has been a ridiculous day. A ridiculous day, I must say. All I can say is I have nothing. Well, I do have a cup. Where's my cup? That's all I can say. Where's my cup? Stand by, folks. Listen to the music for a little while. I'm going to get my cup. Stay there. Still there? I hope you're still there. All right. All right. Okay. There we go. All right. Enough of that. Enough of that. I got my cup now. Stop that music. This is my fourth attempt today at the show. Fourth. Probably fifth, actually. I've had some recording issues this morning. I got up. I was so proud of myself. I got down to my studio in my house at about 7 o'clock this morning. Got about 30 minutes into the show and realized I had only recorded about 12 minutes of show. And for some reason, everything went just dead on the recording side. It was still recording, but it was recording nothing. Now, I usually use the voice memo function of my system at home because why does Logic Pro have so many issues? It's an Apple product. It's an Apple software. And it's on an Apple iMac. And it will, all of a sudden it says disk too slow or whatever. All you're doing is recording. But the same computer can record with the voice memo program normally and work pretty well. Works just fine. So what is going on there? What is happening here? I don't understand. I've got, I need to change this a little bit. This is a little crazy too. It seems like my settings get messed with occasionally. Not sure what's going on with that. And right now, it doesn't look like it's even recording very well. It doesn't look like now it's recording better. It's like, I don't know. Now I'm at the international worldwide headquarters right now recording this. And it seems to be doing okay. It seems like it's lagging behind just a little bit. So I'm not sure how well it's going to work. Because it does have a tendency to do some weird things sometimes when I'm trying to just, now, if for some reason, it's got some kind of weird scale. I leave the computer. I don't turn it off. I leave the computer on. I leave. I set it up so it's all secure. I come back, and things are changed. You know, settings are different. There's stuff on here that wasn't there before. I don't know what happens. Like mice run across my keyboard at night. Now I know at my house, my cat does. Like to play on my computer. He'll sit on the keyboard, and he will, you know, roll around on the thing and make things happen. I know that's happening because I find stuff on the floor, off my desk. By the way, in my cup this morning. Let's get on another subject. In my cup, I have sweet tea. It was homemade sweet tea. In my other cup, I have cashews. That's right. Thought you'd like to hear me eat these this morning, this afternoon, whatever it is. That's pretty, yeah. That's entertaining, isn't it? So, I'll put those away so you don't get grossed out by that. Now I can get the lid back on. There we go. I'll eat those later. Nothing quite goes with cashews as well as sweet tea. In fact, I've found just about everything goes better with sweet tea. I choose my restaurants based on whether or not they're sweet tea or not. I got a lot of things I want to talk about today. I'm going to jump right into it while everything's still working. I have to say I'm a little frustrated. Here's the most frustrating part about this, and here's where it gets a little bit hard to do the show when this has happened, because I've already vented a lot of things. A lot of this show, I don't have like an agenda for this show. I wake up in the morning. I have a chance to ponder some things. I watch a few videos. I've had a chance. Usually I watch, this is how I usually mull. This is the process I'll explain to you the process of how this show works. I listen to videos all day long. I typically have some times where I can kind of sit and do nothing, and I could be working on my book. But no, I'm watching videos and watching reports of stuff that you don't have to, that way you don't have to watch it. And I'm listening, I'm scouring through all these headlines and reports and see what's going on in the political world, how people are reporting things. And then I let all this stuff soak overnight. It's in like a big stew in my head. It's like a big vat of just ooze wandering around in my head. And it's as it does that, then in the morning, what happens is I just open my mouth and it oozes out after it's had a chance to ferment in there overnight. And that's what you get when you get this show. So when I get up in the morning and I start my venting process and I start going through some thoughts that I've put together as I'm waking up in the morning, I'm kind of processing all this stuff still. I'm trying to, how am I going to communicate this? What are some things I want to talk about? I'll watch a couple of videos, Sky News, some of the things that happened overnight. I'll kind of check on the news, see what's happening, and kind of put all this stuff together. And I like to hit it with a fresh punch in the morning. The earlier the better. And this morning it was 7 o'clock. I got down I was ready. I pushed the record button. It was like 7 o'clock, 7:01, whatever it was. I started pushing the button. Well, right now it is 1:34 Eastern Standard Time, and I'm just getting into the show right now. June 12th, 2023. And I have to say, a little behind, you might say. Speaking of which, I think I forgot to, I got to do some stuff there. Anyway, the process was interrupted then by all this recording stuff, and I couldn't remember what I had already talked about, what I was going to talk about. I didn't want to repeat myself. I kind of knew what I was talking about, what I had talked about in the first part of the show, but I couldn't remember what I had talked about in the last, like there was like about 10 minutes there that wasn't recorded. So I went back and I found where I, kind of started up where I left off before. That went fine. And I got about 10 minutes into it again, and it quit again. And the next time I went to stop it or go back, it wasn't saved. So I only had the first 12 minutes of the show. So I thought, well, I'll try Logic Pro. I tried to record on that. It went about 10 minutes again. I thought, well, I'll just start all over again, start on Logic Pro, start it all over again. Recorded the first maybe 15 minutes. And the next thing you know, it failed on me. Now, both times, I noticed that there were particular things that I was getting into subject-wise when this thing stopped. Now, I'm on a completely different computer, completely different internet system, different microphone, different everything, different location. I'm 5.25 miles away from where I was. Everything's different as far as the hookup and the setup, computers, everything's different. If I start to wade into this and it starts to malfunction again, I'm gonna cry foul. There's something wrong. A couple of things that I really want to talk about, and I found a few things out actually since this morning, since I've been come in here, that I'd also like to possibly bring up. And one of the things is really I'd like to have the audio for this from this. I just heard it on the radio. I wasn't able to record it, but I'm sure I can find it on YouTube somewhere. This is George Stephanopoulos interviewing my favorite senator on the Republican side, not Lindsey Graham. It was interesting. It was Lindsey Graham. There was another guy. Who was it? Actually, the guy who, no, it wasn't George Stephanopoulos. I'm sorry. George Stephanopoulos was interviewing another guy who was talking about the, it might have been Comer, was interviewing him about the documents. And of course, the guy was bringing up the issue of Joe Biden having documents and how much more scandalous his document situation was than Donald Trump's. George Stephanopoulos acted like he didn't know anything about it. And he just laid into him about it. how anybody can be in the political world, be a pundit on a get paid the kind of money he does and not know anything about Joe Biden's document scandal? It's ridiculous. So, here we are. We have the indictment. We have Bill Barr making some comments. And then Dan Bongino made some interesting comments that I did not actually hear, but I read the transcripts from the comments that he had on the show he's been interviewed for, which is some things that I've been kind of concerned about myself. And I was a little bit unnerved that he actually had these same concerns. I was a little bit, just a little bit unnerved about it, about that, because he's got a little more insight about what's going on with the Secret Service than I do. And I just had some similar concerns. And he actually took it a couple steps further. I had things, mentioned some things I didn't think about. So I want to wade into this very carefully. First of all, Bill Barr. Why is Bill Barr even in the news? What other Secretary of State? Just because he was Trump's Secretary of State, and he has probably the establishment considers him the biggest persuader, I guess, on the Republican side. That maybe he has the ear of the Republican Party. Now, let me be very clear about some things. There was also an interview I heard over the weekend with Brian Kilmeade. He was interviewing, I think it might have been Friday, but I actually heard the, by the way, I didn't have a live show on Friday. Sorry about that. We didn't have a show on Thursday as well. This week probably will be the same. I don't know about Friday yet. I'm not sure what's going to happen on Friday morning. Friday was really a messed up day. It started off with one thing led to another, and then that got changed. Everything got changed all the time, all day on Friday. It was so chaotic. There was just no chance of getting a show in. And I could have done it. Unfortunately, I could have done a show. What I didn't know is that I could have done it at the time. I was waiting around for some information, and it never came through. While I was waiting around for that, I could have easily done a show. And, of course, by the time I got the information, some other things had started happening. That was just one thing after another. So the establishment, here's what the establishment Republicans do not understand: why Trump is leading in the polls and why he is who he is in the polls. And the change that has happened within the Republican Party, they have no clue. They think that they can still win back the conservatives, the people who are the Trump Republicans. Now, independents, maybe, because they're kind of wishy-washy anyway. They don't like Biden. They don't really pay attention to what's going on with politics. They don't understand all the issues. They just kind of go with whatever they think feels right. Many of them do. I know of very few independents who are truly independent. Most of them are not independent in the sense of they're very well studied on the issues and they become independents because of that. Most of the independents I know personally, and I would say even those I've seen on that call themselves independents, on most that are pundits that call themselves independents, typically lean left. If they're involved in social issues at all, they lean very much left. They just don't realize it. I would call them maybe traditional Democrats or even left-leaning Democrats. More social Democrats than what I would consider libertarian or conservatives, even Republicans. They're just not, they don't lean to the right at all. One of the toughest things I have to do on a Monday, let alone one of the things that I like, why I like doing my show early on a Monday, is because I've got a lot to unload. There's been all the things that have happened over, not just the weekend now, but Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I've got a lot of things to unload. And unfortunately, it tends to come out like a shotgun. I tend to be a little scattered. So I apologize for that in advance because I probably will I'll probably be off track quite a bit. And now here I am in the afternoon and I'm really ready to unload. And I'm not even sure what I've what I've loaded and unloaded because I've done the show four times already today. So it's a little difficult. So we have an establishment Republican Party that doesn't understand Trump, doesn't understand the phenomenon, doesn't understand why the base is so devoted to him and why they what the key issue is here. It's not about why it's not about Trump behaving the way he does. They don't like him because of the way he behaves. And this guy on Kilmeade that was being interviewed said, you know, Trump is his own worst enemy. Everybody would agree that they like his policies. I liked his policies. People like his policies, but we just don't like the way Trump acts. And it's time to move on from him. Find somebody else. They go on and on with this whole thing. You don't understand. And you could tell the guy was pro DeSantis. And the thing that you don't understand, Pence, he really liked Pence. Now, Pence does not have a snowball's chance. In fact, the mere fact that Pence is running, I think, tells you how out of touch he is with the American public and with the Democrat Party. He has no clue what they're going to do to him. He thinks that, well, if all I have to do is act presidential, and, you know, Bob, I wrote this in my book. If you read my book, you'd know that I said this and I did that and I said that. And if, you know, like I wrote in my book. He didn't write his book. Brian Kilmeade comes out with a book every month or two. He doesn't write books. Brian Kilmeade works 12 hours a day on broadcasting. He has a radio show. He's on television all the time. There is no way this guy finds time to put out a book every 2 months. No way. There are things called ghostwriters, and that's what he does. He has a ghostwriter that writes all this stuff for him. I'm sure he has input into it. Now, don't get me wrong. He has the idea. He has the input. And he just has somebody else write the thing. It's like an AI type thing. He probably has a team of people that work on it for him. Bill Barr didn't write his book. He had a ghostwriter. Mike Pence didn't write his book. He wrote notes, probably. And just gave him to a ghostwriter, and the ghostwriter put the whole thing together. So these people that are in now Pence considers himself more of an establishment person. I follow the law. And, well, you know, Bob, I'm going to do this because I follow. And Mike Pence is a very cold, calculated politician, very polished. Now, I'm not going to judge the man's faith. I don't know. That's, you know, he's going to have to face God on his own. I don't know. He seems genuine, but at the same time, there's a certain kind of person who is a phony that comes through in their voice. Now, I've talked about this before. Mike Pence has a certain way of talking when he's giving a speech, especially, that is what I call portrayal. He comes through with this way of speaking that he tries to be dramatic, tries to be presidential. He's trying to do all these things to act the part. The problem is he's acting the part. He was recently seen wearing I think he was on a Harley, you know, with his leather jacket on or whatever. He had his blue jeans, trying to look like hey, look at me. I'm Joe Sixpack. Whatever he was trying to be. I don't know what he's trying to be. And the next time you see him, he'll be dressed, you know, with some, they continue to do this stuff because they're trying to relate, trying to be relatable. Look at me. I'm not one of the elites. I'm just your average guy out here. Now, we all know better than that. Well, I hope we do. This stuff goes on and on. There's always political theater. It's always optics. It's always what they want to portray. It's all about their image, their public image. They have focus groups. They talk about it in meetings. your marketing consultant, your public relations person, whatever it is. They go over this stuff all the time. You need to be seen doing this. Dress like that. You've got to wear that today for some photo ops. He very carefully plans out his statements. Now, he got himself into a little bit of a bind the other day because someone asked him a question. He came out against the indictment process for Trump. He said some negative things about it, like he doesn't agree with it or whatever he said. I think the I'm not sure this was planned, but the person doing the interview asked him a question and said, "Would you, if you were elected president, would you pardon Donald Trump if he was convicted?" Boy, did he squirm on that one. I still don't know what his answer was. My understanding is his answer was, people say he would pardon, that he was positive on that answer. I don't know that. I really don't know what he said. It didn't seem like he was answering one way or the other to me. To me, it didn't sound. Now, maybe he would. Maybe he's just trying to not come out and say he would. Or not, maybe he's not trying to say that. I don't know. The problem with the Republican Party has right now is that about 60% of the Republican Party is a pretty hardcore Trump supporters. That's where they're at right now. 60% of the party is not backing down. Even if he's indicted, convicted, and everything else, they're still going to vote for the guy. Now, getting further into this, Bill Barr, who cares? This is like James Comey coming out and saying, you have to vote for Biden. Biden's the only one who upholds the law. He's the only one. Please vote for Biden. Vote for Biden. You have to vote for Biden. Biden's the clear choice. Please vote for Biden because he's the only one we have dirt on that we can control. Because Trump's going to come after us. He's a vindictive man. He's going to come after us. He's actually concerned about a retribution president. We've talked about this last week on the last Wednesday show. Yeah, he's coming for you, Jim. He's coming for you and a bunch of other people who committed crimes against the state. They're trying to get Trump for treason. The treason committers are the ones who are going after him. These people are messing with an election. They've messed with a presidency. They mess with our country, our country's leader, duly elected president, that they have never accepted. They've continued to just do the whole Russia collusion thing. Chris Christie, of all people, why is he running again? Why? And he has the audacity to come out and say, Trump's a five-time loser. Well, he won. He got the presidency. And you've tried. How many times have you tried, Chris? I don't know what Christie knows. He's not going to be the president. But he also knows that by running, he can put himself into a position of possibly leveraging himself for whoever does become the nominee. He can possibly get into their administration. This is what he tried to do under the Trump administration. He was hoping to be Attorney General. He did not get that position. So he became something else. Can't remember what it was. He was a little bit miffed at that. And of course, then he got fired from that position. Now he's a disgruntled individual who constantly goes on. Now he goes on. He was on MSNBC and CNN quite a bit initially. Now I think Fox News is having him on because they're trying to figure out how to get Trump, be negative with Trump without upsetting his base. Brian Kilmeade is an establishment individual. Most people don't realize this. He's totally establishment. Brian Kilmeade really has no commitment to the party whatsoever. He's not a conservative. He goes along. He carries the water for the Republican establishment. He may not even know it. Most traditional Republicans don't even know that. Don't even realize where the Republican Party has gone. They are two sides of the same coin as far as the Democrat establishment. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of leaders in the Democrat or in the Republican Party who don't even realize it themselves. They think somehow they're going to participate. I think Mike Pence thinks he's going to win over the Democrats by being the presidential one and being the best candidate in the race and showing himself to be presidential. And he's a younger guy and he's going to show himself to be more tempered and have the right kind of temperament for president. That's what this guy from being interviewed on Kilmeade said. And he was just running Trump down. What these people do not understand is that it's not about the way Trump acts. Now, he did say he kept arguing about his policies. His policies, oh, we like his policies. That's the point. We like his policies. But here's the better part of it. He's not establishment. He just wants to do what's best for the country. That's all he wants. And he's mad at anybody who doesn't. And the fact that these left-wing lunatics have come after him just goes to show that they hate, well, first of all, they hate the country. And when somebody comes up who is elected that stands up for the country and gets the country on in the right track and starts heading the right direction, for some reason, they get mad about this at this guy. They don't like this guy. They got, oh, he's the worst. He's the pig. He's terrible. He's a misogynist. He's all these. He's a racist. Whatever. The worst name we can call him. He's a Nazi. And that's not the case at all. But that's where they have to go with it. Because it's the worst thing they can call him. So they continue to do that. Bill Barr, like anybody's going to listen to Bill Barr. Bill, I'm sorry. I'm not going to take your advice on who I should vote for president. I'm sorry. Sorry, it's just not going to happen. You may be a good guy. I don't know. You might be a nice guy. I don't know. I doubt it. But I'm not going to listen to you. End of the day, your opinion does not matter to me. I hope people are walking around with their eyes open and their ears open and understanding and disseminating all the information that they're seeing around them, that they can clearly see the truth for what it is. I think more and more people are. Joe Rogan, in fact, recently has now come out and basically admitted that, hey, if Donald Trump had done anything, any one of the 10 things that Biden has done, they would be all over him. But that's not the case, because he sees the double standard now. And that's a shift from where Joe Rogan was. Joe Rogan was not there before. I think just a year ago, Joe Rogan was pretty much didn't care about some of this stuff, and all of a sudden now he does. Interesting stuff. So, what we have is an establishment that doesn't understand who their base is. They think that they can just continue on with this stuff as it is and bring back the grand old party the way it was and just have the play the game and do the thing and let people go back to sleep. We'll just keep taking their money, keep encroaching on them. There was a really interesting, I think it's, what's the guy's, I subscribe to this channel. It's an interesting channel. I just discovered it recently, but he's talking about this whole thing about how he's comparing the Communist Manifesto, checking all the boxes off in terms of what is communist and how communist is our country. Now, what you don't realize is the progressives have been at it for about, the progressives are communists. They call themselves socialists, but they're actually communists. Communism and socialism essentially are the same thing. They're hand in hand. They're sister ideologies. How you get there is, you know, either through Marxism or Stalinism, Leninism, whatever you're going to call it. But it's basically the same thing. It just depends on what you have. Democratic socialism is no different than communism, basically. It's just elected communism. And it's still communism. And the people at the top are still obviously the ones that are still running the show and want the power. They want the control. They want to be the ones in office when the oligarchy happens. They want to be the oligarchs. The ones with the money, the ones who are the makers and breakers, the ones who make the winners and losers. They pick and choose who's going to be there. Because when they have that kind of power, then the people who, like right now, there's a big shift from oil to renewable energy, so to speak. So those lobbies are getting involved right now with the politicians that are in place. And they know that there's politicians already that have oil in their back pocket. And so they're trying to find a way around that, so they're pushing for renewables. So then that way the renewable lobby comes and gets in their back pocket. Push the oil people out. we take over. It's all about power and money. They don't care about anything. They don't care about the truth. They don't care about, well, the world's going to end in 12 years. Well, we're about halfway through that now, aren't we? I only got about another 6 years left. Don't hear her saying anything about that. So we have all that going on. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an epidemiologist or a geologist. I'm not a dermatologist. I'm not a financial counselor. However, I'm going to talk about this indictment for just a minute. Bill Barr comes out and says that Donald Trump was reckless with these documents. Reckless. That's a pretty big word to use. Reckless. Donald Trump, being the president of the United States, left with his documents from his office, from his secured facility. We have absolute records of when and how and where, who transported those records to his locked facility in Mar-a-Lago. We know, we can track the whole thing. In fact, they have tracked the whole thing. They've traced the whole thing down. They know exactly who did it. They came and inspected the room after they were there. The FBI inspected the room. The Secret Service inspected the room. The records department, whatever it is, National Records, whatever it is, archives, NARA, whatever it is, they inspected the room. Had them put an extra padlock on it. Now, Joe Biden, on the other hand, and nobody found the records at Trump's facility. They knew where the records were. They didn't just, he's hiding them there. No, he has the records there. They know he has the records there. They're asking for him to return the records. The only problem was he wouldn't return them. That's where the problem lies. They wanted him back. He said, no. I'll give you this. I won't give you that. I don't think I have this. Maybe I do. I don't know. I'm not going to dig through all these records to find what you want. There was a squabble over what records they should get back. Now, here's the problem with this. And this is right. Nobody asks these questions. All these records have been digitalized. They know they know everything that's in these boxes. They have a digital record of everything that's there. Why do they need the actual hard copy? Now, you know, if he takes a picture of any of this stuff, or he makes a photocopy of any of this stuff, that would be considered illegal. National Archives can do that. Nobody else can do that. National Archives has the ability to digitize all this stuff. They're authorized to do that. Now, the president, when he was president, he could have declassified all this stuff. Has to go through a process, but yes, it could have been declassified. As president, however, he can also show these classified documents to whomever he chooses. That's just the way it is. That makes their heads explode. But here's the problem that we seem to have with this. National Archives wanted the documents back. Well, they didn't give them back in time. So let me lay this little story out for you and see if you can figure out who I'm talking about here and see if this makes any sense to you and see what you think of this and see who you think where the problem is and this kind of statement that we should make about it. Because everybody's saying, well, why didn't you just give the records back? He should have just given them back when they asked for them. Why? The argument was over who has the right to them. They were going through this process with lawyers. It's not like they think this guy was a big crybaby locked up in his little closet with his records, with his arms around his records saying, no, I'm not going to give it back to you. No. That's who they think Trump is. That's in their head, that's who they think this guy is. Here's a little story. Let me tell you the story. A person at a government agency is requesting to have a document or some documents. And that person requests those documents from another entity, and the head of that entity says no. Or says, well, first they say that document doesn't exist. And then they come back and say, well, it exists. It's here, but we can't give it to you. And then the other government agency comes back and says, "Well, we're going to subpoena you then for the documents. We're going to put that the subpoena here." So the lawyers are involved. There's lawyer legal counsel, big back and forth between the lawyers. And basically, they say, "Well, we can comply with the subpoena, but we need an extension. You keep on going. Can't give you this because of other reasons, more reasons, back and forth." Finally, the government organization that wants the documents puts out a warrant, a threat to the person holding the documents. What do you think? Who do you think I'm talking about here? Oh, I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about Christopher Wray. Congress asking for documents concerning Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. But somehow that's okay. They're not obstructing justice. This is an investigation going on. They need the documents for the investigation. That is obstruction of justice. What Trump is doing, withholding documents, is not obstructing. Or he's obstructing. Well, he's obstructing your collection of the documents. In fact, they came to get the documents, and he didn't sit there and obstruct them. He's not stopping them from getting them. What he's doing is saying, "I don't think you have the right to have them." They knew exactly where they were. They know exactly what they are. He just doesn't think that they have the right to take them. Now, why he wants them, I don't know. I don't know what's in there. He knows. I think there's more to this story. I think there's more. I think this has something to do with when he gets back into office, what's going to happen to all of them. And that's why they want these documents back. And that's why there's a time limit on it. Joe Biden, well, let's go to Barack Obama, his predecessor. Barack Obama still has documents that he has not returned to the National Archives. They requested them. He didn't return them. As far as we know, George Bush possibly did. George W. We know that Bill Clinton had classified documents in his sock drawer, and it was determined by courts that he absolutely had the right to keep them there. That the National Archive Office Records, whatever it is, this some kind of act of 1996 or whatever it was, is not law. It's just a set of rules they're to follow. It's not law. It's not criminal law here. At the very most, this should be a civil suit, not a criminal suit. He didn't commit treason. He didn't commit espionage, like they're saying. This recording of him talking to somebody on the phone about the plans that the government had to attack a country, I'm assuming it was Iran. Rumor has it that before he left office, that the DOD was trying to get him to attack Iran before he left office, to start a war with Iran. He's the only president who didn't start a war, by the way, recently in recent history. And for some reason, I think that's why they wanted him to start something. That way they could say he did it too. He did it too. Everybody does it. You really be careful about the people who surround you. And I think that's where DeSantis is a little bit naive. So this indictment came down with all these 37 indictments or whatever it was, because every single page, I think, that they indicted him for or whatever it was, they get him all this stuff. What it amounts to is espionage and something else. And obstruction of justice or whatever. Well, the only way you can obstruct justice is if there's an investigation going on. There was no law broken. They just consider him his obstruction to get the documents, that was obstruction of justice, because it was just for them to come in and take. See, that's where the court hadn't decided yet on whether it was just for them to come in and take the documents. It's when there's a crime committed and you obstruct the investigation of a crime, that is obstruction of justice. That's the definition of obstruction. That, what he just not giving something back to the National Archives when they ask for it is not obstruction of justice. It's just baloney. It's just absurd. And Bill Barr has the nerve to come out and say, well, you know, he was reckless with this stuff. You want to talk about reckless? Let's talk about reckless here for a moment, Bill. A senator takes documents out of a skiff. We have no idea when he took them, how he took them, where they went. But we do know where they ended up. And we don't know who found them there. In his garage. In a garage that Hunter Biden lived in for $50,000 a month, by the way. In a house that Joe didn't live in. It was his second house, or third, or third. He's got like four homes. In a garage that nobody knew was there. Now, who found them there? How did they get there? How did this? We have no record of anyone moving these documents around. These documents were classified at a time when Joe Biden was a senator, not vice president, a senator who had no right to take them out of the skiff. This is what George Stephanopoulos was called on, and he didn't know anything about it. What are you talking about, sir? You know exactly what he's talking about. You guys refuse to report on it. You refuse to investigate it. So, Bill Barr says Trump was reckless. Well, when Joe Biden found those documents, he returned them right away. He had his lawyers return them. Okay, first of all, since when do lawyers have top secret security clearance? I don't understand that at all. Shouldn't they said the president needs to come and get these because you have top secret clearance? I mean, he's the top secret clearance guy. He's supposed to be. We don't know who found them. I'm sure it wasn't his lawyers. His lawyers weren't going through his closet at the college of was it Pennsylvania PU or whatever it was. They didn't find the records. Somebody else found the records. Then they turned them over to the lawyers and said, oh, we'll take care of this. Lawyers don't clean out your closets. Okay, you're not paying some lawyer $600 an hour to clean out your closet. We're being lied to up and down all over the place all the time. Blinken lies to us every day in his little press conferences. Well, no, there's no, the reports are false that China has a spy outfit going on in Cuba. Oh, guess what? Now we find out China has, it's been confirmed. China has had one there since we've known about it since like 2016. I bet we've known about it since before that. I bet it's been going on a long time ago. Just on and on and on with this stuff. Secretary of State didn't know anything about it. Secretary of Defense didn't know anything about it. Oh, yeah, by the way, that is happening. Yeah. So this is the way they treat the American public. Now, in my opinion, when you lie to the American people, personally, I think that should be the worst offense. You should lose your job for that. James Comey. Christopher Wray. All these people who have stood before us, Adam Schiff, Raskin, stood up there in their little self-righteous smug attitudes, noses in the air, lying to us about stuff all for years, went on and on and on with these lies. And they still have the audacity to show their face. Maybe they shouldn't be in prison, I don't know. But they should at least lose their jobs. Some of these people should be fired immediately and never have access again, ever again, to the agencies they were involved in. If I were president, day one, the top floor at the FBI would be cleared completely. And all of those people would lose all security clearances, everything gone. Don't bother cleaning out your desk. And any phone calls you make to anyone in this agency will be blocked. You have no, make it a criminal offense if you even attempt to communicate with anybody in the agency. Period. No more good old boy stuff behind the scenes going on, which you know is happening with Bill Barr. This is a sticky web of swamp creatures. They will stick together and defend each other to the end. Especially when they have a common enemy named Donald Trump. Because they know he's coming for them. They're going to do everything they can to destroy him. Now, this is where Dan Bongino comes into effect. Dan Bongino is concerned about the safety of the president. He doesn't think that there are enough assets around the president with regard to Secret Service to keep him protected through the election process. He's concerned about the security detail and how there's a lot of countries out there who would like to do in Trump. They don't. The CCP, the Chinese Communist Chinese Party, they don't want Trump back in. If you listen to my show very long, you've probably heard my whole layout of how I think the whole coronavirus thing. Now they're finally admitting it was a lab leak. What wasn't intentional? Whatever. Now they have a story about this whole thing, but I don't even believe the story. I'm not going to go through it again, but there's a certain individual who was involved with the NIA, whatever thing that was involved over there doing research on this virus, who was very top dog here in this country with regard to giving recommendations. And yes, I basically believe that this whole thing was a setup. Absolutely was. The timing, the election, everything that happened, it all just worked out perfectly for them. The Russians came for the 2016 election, and they're going to come for the 2024 election now. You can bet they're coming for that election, according to James Comey. Well, what happened in 2020? What happened there, James? Did you guys seal it up? Apparently, we were able to seal up that election so well. Yeah, I'm not even going to that. Let me get back to this whole thing with Bill Barr. Because talk about reckless. And the Republicans, let me back up for just a second. Trump's defense is not that, hey, well, you didn't get the other guys who were doing bad things. No, because Trump didn't do anything bad. They are jacking up these accusations and it's just absurd. The two-tier system of justice we have, when Hillary Clinton, who wasn't the president, had classified documents on her server, her personal server, wiped them with bleach bit. Well, because my lawyers told me to. They were personal emails. We will never know, will we? Well, we know. Folks, we are at a very interesting time in our history. And I should have said this at the beginning of the show, but the end of my shows, I want to start doing like a life thing. Today's thing was going to be about self-discipline and the difference between self-discipline and external discipline, exterior discipline, self-discipline and imposed discipline. I'm not going to get into it as much as I was. I probably will do this tomorrow more. But the point of it is that we have to live a disciplined life. And I'll be talking about this tomorrow after the show, or at the end of the show, I should say. And the difference between someone who imposes, lives under discipline, or someone who is self-disciplined or self-governed. There's a big difference between the two. Huge difference, actually. And we'll talk about that more tomorrow. But in the meantime, as the show goes here, today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Now, I don't know how early I will be able to get in to do the show tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get... I'm going to work on my system at home and try to reboot some things and maybe reinstall some things and see if I can get some things cleared up on that computer at home. If that's the case, I'll be able to get started pretty early tomorrow morning. Otherwise, I will not be able to start early tomorrow morning. It'll be a little bit later in the morning. However, there will be a show in the morning. I'm really seriously considering about me doing the live shows now on Wednesday instead of Friday. Let me know in the comments. Send me comments or whatever, how you think about that. But I'm really thinking, because for the most part, most of my Wednesdays, I think through the summer here at least, are going to be open. I'm going to be home over the Wednesdays. So just double check on that. I'm going to double check on that on my schedule here for the next couple months. And I'm thinking that maybe Wednesday, starting next Wednesday, actually, I would start doing live shows on Wednesdays. So keep that in mind. And what I'll probably just plan on doing is just having a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday show. Now, next week, it'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It will not be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Next week's shows will be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. In fact, the next 2 weeks after this week will be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So just to keep you up to date on that. Now, it's possible I'll have a show on Monday. It's possible I'll also have a show on Friday, on the day, those other days. But it's so uncertain because my travel plans, just I never know when I'm going to be traveling. It's just hard to get kind of things worked in that way. But so there you go. Now, in the meantime, it is the beginning of another week and the middle of a month. And we can continue to press forward into the things that are happening. Keep your ears open, your eyes open, but mostly keep your mind sharp and ask the right questions. Nobody's asking questions about how did those documents get in Joe Biden's garage? How'd they get there? We know how the documents got to Mar-a-Lago. We know what documents were there. They didn't know there were even documents in Joe Biden's garage. Were they actual documents or were they copies of documents? Plus the other three places that they found documents from Joe Biden. Hello? Anybody asking those questions? I don't think they are. Folks, pray for our nation. Pray that this goes down well. God is still in control. He's on the throne. God bless everybody. Have a great day.